They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. You're on Radio Fairfax, and we're joined by an old friend today, David Kahn, all the way from Houston, Texas. David, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's been a long time.
Indeed it has.
And for those of you who are new listeners to On the Commons, because we have a lot of those, David is an attorney in Houston, Texas, one of the few attorneys in the country who will represent homeowners. And he has a finger on the pulse of what's going on in HOAs in Texas. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that, what's going on now, what's going to come up in the future, and we'll see where we go from there. David, I know the last time I was in touch with you, you had a number of cases that you were handling for homeowners. Can you give us an idea of the types of things that are going on?
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of issues that sort of we've been seeing for many years. And for lack of a better term, I'd call it the petty abuses of power. Everything from complaining about a palm tree to refusing to maintain order when parties get out of hand. It's the arrogance that comes from people who feel that their judgment will never be challenged. And then we have, and those just go on all the time. And they're we have, in addition to that, a number of the somewhat more important issues that I talked about in that Bill of Rights paper that was circulated, published by AARP. And those are some of the more structural issues. Certainly in Texas, nothing has happened to eliminate the imbalance of power. That's what I mean by the structural issues, that the homeowner associations maintain a great deal of very real power that comes from spending the people's money and having relatively few limitations on what can be done. I guess in a couple minutes I'll talk about some improvements that we've seen, particularly in the legislative session 3 years ago. But by and large, the same big categories of issues that I talked about in the Bill of Rights we're still seeing. So we're still seeing foreclosures that are threatened and occasionally carried out over petty sums of money without real efforts made to work with homeowners. we're still seeing a great imbalance of power in litigation. We're still seeing rules that are not properly publicized, although to some extent that was addressed with the legislature requiring that if an association has a website now in Texas, they have to publish their rules on that website. Unfortunately, they don't require that the association has a website, and not everyone publishes their rules.
So quite what you're saying is a lot of the rules are still secret.
Yes, they're secret, or they're just not made known so that the people who are connected to the board will know about the rules, but otherwise the board will hold the rules and apply them when convenient. We still see all sorts of issues relating to individual autonomy. It never ceases to amaze me how an association can complain that somebody has I've gotten complaints about a cross that somebody wants to put on their front yard that might be an 18-inch. I'm not talking about a 36-foot statue. I'm talking about someone wants to reflect their faith by putting up a cross that might be 18 inches or 2 feet tall. We've got complaints about people who want to put designer iron gates at the front walkway to their house. The notion that it might be enjoyable to personalize your house, this is not people who are leaving their properties dilapidated. This is people who have something affirmatively that they think would make their house more attractive, their property more attractive. There are still huge problems with oversight of associations. The default rule in Texas is that the board of directors gets to amend the bylaws whenever they want. And so, although homeowners can change that, if their bylaws don't limit the board can often entrench itself by changing terms of office, extending terms of office, that sort of thing. So oversight of directors and officers continues to be a problem. And then there's the reasonability rule in Texas in particular is very weak. It requires quite a bit of evidence before a judge will find that a discretionary decision is arbitrary and capricious. And even if homeowners are able to assemble that evidence, it can be extraordinarily expensive to prove that the board is doing something that, for lack of a better word, is idiotic. And so the case that you're certainly familiar with, Shu, that comes to mind is the one that Bill Davis was involved with, where the board did quite a number of things that were and ultimately were found to be arbitrary and capricious, but cost literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of attorney time to make that happen, and appeals, and I don't even know if Bill is finally done with that, although they have certainly won some very important victories. So we still see all of these same problems, and we see, unfortunately for Texans, that the problems are spreading across the state, whereas at one point one could argue that most of the problems were in the area of Houston and Harris County. I'm getting an increasing number of calls from coastal regions and from the Austin area and from Dallas, and the developers seem quite content to expand this structure. So let me put it this way. I'll be able to be busy as long as I want.
So you found a niche.
Well, so then one of the things that is disturbing is that although some of the laws now, the good laws, there are a small number of good laws, and some of them have been on the books for 10 years or more, But one of the most important laws that we have here is that before fines or other charges are imposed against homeowners, they have to be given an opportunity to be heard. They have to be given a certified letter and an opportunity to be heard. And that law is quite old, and it's also quite commonly disregarded. And I had a trial a year and a half ago where one of the central issues was, did the property manager simply send out notices saying you have been fined? And in fact, at the trial, the property manager said, yeah, I did. And I said, well, don't you know that the statute requires that you provide a notice? Yes, but the board wanted me simply to send out the notice of fine, so I did.
And so this is the professional that's going to guide the board.
Well, in this, what the professional said was that she was doing whatever the board wanted. She said if the board wanted me to send out an opportunity to be heard, she would, but if the board didn't, she wouldn't. And we're going to have that issue coming up in another more recent lawsuit, so we'll see what happens. But I've also got that in a case on appeal where it's conceded that the association did not give out the notice. But having not given out the notice, they just proceeded immediately to a lawsuit. And we're trying to get the courts to say, no, your lawsuit is invalid if you didn't give the notice in advance. And we've been waiting for a decision now for quite some time.
But, David, you know, you've got an opportunity to be heard. This is an opportunity to be heard in front of the same people who promulgated the rules, the same people who found you to be in violation of the rules, and now you're going begging them to think things through. There's no separation. It's all thrown right back in the...
All of those problems, as you so correctly described them, they still remain. What I'm only saying is that even when we have minimally helpful statutes, those laws can be blatantly disregarded.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, what this one does is it does, the opportunity to be heard by the board does allow the homeowner essentially one last chance to avoid a fight. And the reason you'd want that one last chance to avoid a fight, for example, case that's on appeal, involves a man who was building a house for his mother. He's actually a physician, and his mother was past retirement age, and he wanted to build a house for her, and he spent a fair amount of money on that, and there was a dispute over the windows. And had he been given that opportunity to be heard, quite likely they would have resolved the issue of the windows. He might have had to compromise some. I'm not saying that it would have been fair, but there wouldn't have been a lawsuit. And instead what happened was that in this house that should have been a place of refuge for his mother and a place for her to enjoy her retirement, there's been an ongoing fight for years. So my point was not that the laws are good. In Texas, they're not. Maybe in other places, they are.
They're not.
But in Texas, they're not. But even where there are improvements, they are frequently disregarded. Now, we have some, in addition to that, we have, that's disregarded, including by the property managers, as you pointed out, the professionals, and by the lawyers for the association. Another thing that we see, of course, is plenty of examples where boards themselves blatantly abuse powers. And so one example that I have an ongoing case with is that the board president decided that, well, he knew best, and essentially what he did was he gave himself a position literally for life.
What? He's looking for life. Is that it?
He was the head of the grievance committee for life.
Oh, nice.
That's what he declared. And then he gave the grievance committee a whole series of powers, including powers over who could run for office, including powers over how disputes get resolved. And in that case, what happened, that case comes out of San Antonio, the original lawyer on the case was by no means a specialist in this area, essentially a general practitioner with a plaintiff's orientation. And when that lawyer got involved in it, unbelievably, the insurance defense counsel first defended the status quo. Eventually, I and another lawyer came into the case and rewrote the complaint to document over 60 pages the improprieties that we saw. And once, shall we say, everyone's nose was rubbed in it, there was a fairly rapid capitulation. It took, we had to first set a temporary restraining order. When I say fairly rapid, I mean for lawyers. It took months, but it didn't take years.
It didn't take years, so that's a quickie, huh?
That's a quickie. Again, a huge amount of lawyer time to resolve something that should have been obvious had anyone just taken a look at it and said, no, you can't do this. You can't have any one person be in charge for life with all of these powers over their neighbors.
David, that's so bizarre.
Well, it is bizarre, but that case also illustrates something else that I'm beginning to see as in other cases as well. The difficulty about getting an effective remedy.
Yeah.
We can change the governing documents, and we did, and we've got a court order that puts everything back to where it should be. We have two court orders, actually. You can't give people back their lives, and the insurance that's carried for the associations, at least in Texas, does not include mental anguish. And so, you know, obviously some of the people were, in this particular case, more personally attacked. One of the rules that this fellow put in was that he limited the ability of people to petition for change. He said, if you want to change, you've got to come to my committee. And he imposed, at one point, a $4,000 fine on an individual.
$4,000?
Yeah. Which is not the worst one that I've heard recently. I'll come to that in just a minute. But his three most significant adversaries, he stopped their ability to have garbage collected for something over a year. I think it was about 18 months, but it was definitely more than a year. And when they tried to hire a private garbage collector, he or the board called up the private garbage collector and said, you can't come in. So what do you do to get back a year and a half where you can't get garbage collected?
Now, the association provided the garbage collection through your dues?
For other people in the subdivision, they did the garbage collection.
So everybody paid their dues, which included garbage collection, and they just collected this guy's dues and refused to give him garbage collection and wouldn't let him have it picked up.
I think that what they did was they imposed fines, and then they said, since you're not paying the fines, we're going to miss that. It was one of those priority of payment problems. They're going to say, we're claiming you owe money. But in fact, they didn't owe money. And in fact, it was just a retaliation against former board members who were critical of the current abuse of power.
That's unbelievable. No, I shouldn't say it's unbelievable, but
You know, every time I think I've heard it all, I hear something new.
Well, and so that's, so I would just offer you two other examples of something new, shall I say, creative associations. We have one board that got an opinion from their lawyers that said they could vote the common area if they needed to get a supermajority.
They could vote the common area?
Right. It was not just who owned property in the subdivision. The board could, not just who owned homes. The board could vote the common area.
Whoa.
And another one, we have a recent example of a lady who, actually another physician, and she's paid her all of her assessments on time every year, and then a new management company comes in, and the new management company is claiming $15,000, this is my new big one, $15,000 from old violations for which she never got notice. Now, again, I think we're going to be able to defend that, but $15,000 demand, that's a lot of money.
You know, that's abusive.
Well, so and, again, I think that it's something that we're going to be able to do something about, but there's no check, there's nothing that prevents them from doing that before it happens. You have to get a lawyer, and, you know, I mean, so she called me up, and I said, you know, normally when people get a demand like this, I say that you should try to work it out. I don't think you should try to work it out. I actually think you need a lawyer. And I'm sorry about it, and, you know, I wish it would only cost you a couple hundred dollars, but it may cost you more than that because I don't think they're just going to go away. It's such an overreach in terms of disregard. This is one of those places where they didn't give notice and an opportunity to be heard. They're just saying, you owe this. So we'll see what happens with these examples. The good news, I think, is that there is some spreading of awareness both about the generic abuses of power and about abuses of economic power in particular. So we had a series of storms. You may have heard of them.
Yes.
They're akin to the storms that some of the people in the Northeast have now suffered. But a few years back, we had a couple of hurricanes. And what we're seeing is that the repair budgets can amount to more than $1 million. I've got another subdivision where the repair budget, as approved by the insurer, was between $1 and $2 million. And there are significant concerns that the board members favored themselves over other people. What we're seeing there is, to some extent, increased awareness by district attorneys that there can be problems. I know that we've seen that in some of the other states, some of the national news that's coming out. The district attorneys are starting to realize that while some of the problems are simply intra-neighborhood disputes that they can ignore, some of the problems actually involve potentially large amounts of money that have been diverted, shall we say, from their proper purpose. So I hope that that expands, because the DAs have a lot of ability to impose penalties that, frankly, the homeowners can't get and would be cost prohibitive to pursue without an extensive record that usually just doesn't exist. So those are some of the things that I've been seeing of late. I guess the other thing I then wanted to talk about was where we might be going. In Texas, we have...
Before we go there, David, let's take a station break here. You're listening to Radio Fairfax. You're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and we're talking to David Kahn. David's an attorney in Houston, Texas, who has been involved with protecting homeowners and representing homeowners for a number of years, so he's well aware of what's going on. He is also, you've been sort of active in trying to take us to the next step. Would it be fair to call you an activist, or certainly an advocate for homeowner rights?
Neither of those is okay with me.
So
I just try to solve problems.
And you've been working with Beanie?
With Beanie Adolf, and several other activists as well here in Texas, yeah. Carvella Jones. We have a new person that has joined up with Beanie, a woman named Nancy. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce her last name, Nancy Kay. A number of activists who are trying to get to increase awareness and to get some constructive change at the legislature.
So David is a good person to talk about where they're going in Texas, and maybe we'll then expand and kick over the borders and get into other states. Where do you think you'll end up in Texas? What are some of the plans, David?
Well, so Texas is a little bit different than some states. Our legislature meets every other year. It meets for about 6 months, and then the governor can extend that. So we don't have anything coming up this January, and instead we're going to try to use that time, we the advocacy community, try to use that time to improve our base. Two sessions ago, we had a lot of major legislation, and there were some improvements adopted. There was some help to prevent rapid accumulation of attorney fees associated with unpaid assessments. One of the tactics had been when somebody got behind to rapidly tack on attorney fees, and that would make it very difficult to settle, and that gave the association and the members of the foreclosure factory a lot of leverage to force payments from people. So that law has been, the law limiting attorney fees has been modestly improved. And that is related to the requirement that we now have for associations to offer a payment plan. The required payment plans are not actually very substantial. Give people 3 months or so to catch up. But the boards can do better than that if they want. And the at least alerting people that they're facing a payment plan may cause them to say, well, let me try to solve this problem before it gets worse. We also had a statute passed to address, to reduce, to ameliorate a scam that involved priority of payments, that is, the associations would take your payment and apply it to to the fines that they had imposed against you, which made it much harder to challenge the fines and put you at risk of foreclosure from unpaid assessments. The law was modestly improved there. It has been helpful. Unfortunately, the associations are inventive, creative, and they have found other ways to threaten homeowners. So we did get some improvements, but we have, I guess, significant ways to go in that regard. The most recent legislative session did not make very many changes at all. We had been warned that that was true. We were warned that everybody was exhausted from the debate. And so it was mostly interesting to to watch what happened in an off session for us. And what I was particularly disturbed about was that although not much was done, when things were done, we really didn't get very much access. Everybody was very friendly. They said they'd call us when something came up. They didn't. We weren't given input in any meaningful way on the statutes that were passed. There were, again, some modest improvements, particularly relating to condominiums, but there were also some modest powers that were granted to associations that really were not, again, particularly in the condominium area, not particularly helpful. So I was disturbed by the lack of access that we had, and one of the things that that has prompted is an effort by Beanie Adolf and Nancy to develop a better way of marshaling the advocates in Texas of communicating, reaching out to the many, many people who call looking for help. And what we want to try to do is use the internet as a way to identify, to keep track of, to communicate with, you know, the many solid citizens we have who really would like to see reduced power for homeowners associations. And the problem that we, of course, have is that with a very essentially non-existent budget, it's hard to organize in a state that's as large as Texas. But we're going to begin a more systematic gathering of names of people and try to be sending out more informational updates and see if we can't build a larger group to carry our message at the legislature in about a year from now. It's not just a matter of legislation. I think that ultimately, if we're going to get anywhere good, we need to be able to influence the administrators, and whether that's the administrators in an ombudsperson office, if we ever get one, or whether that is the administrators who deal with consumer protection, or who deal with regulation of nonprofits, or who deal with some of the more specialized issues that are coming up. We're having a lot of issues relating to water generally in Texas, and that affects homeowner associations, for example, who want to require people to essentially flood their lawns during times of drought. And it might indeed, for many parts of the state, make more sense if people could have a more drought-friendly yard, but some of the associations are resisting that. So that's, again, it's an area where there are some administrators involved, and in order to be able to have influence, we want to have a larger group of people who can speak to them. Another piece of our advocacy work, trying to build the community of people who will speak up and speak out.
You're sort of dovetailing a little bit on something that Bill Davis and I talked about last week. This is my 14th year doing On the Commons. That's a long time. The idea was to put the issues out there, bring all the different voices in, have a forum for discussion. The show's grown. I'm proud of what we've done here. But it's not enough. So I threw it out and I said, all right, I'd like to hear everybody's ideas of where we can go from here, how we can expand our voices, how we can expand the network of people. And I think you're sort of coming to the same conclusion. You're limited more to Texas, where I'm looking at more of a national picture. Because what's happening in Texas,
for us, even at this level.
Because what's happening in Texas is not just happening in Texas. It's happening all over the country. And now we're taking it all over the world. And that's kind of a bad thing to be exporting, frankly. But
you know, that's neither here nor there. That's an entirely different show. But I think what you've done is you've kind of touched on something that I've been struggling with lately, is how do I expand the scope of On the Commons? On the Commons is doing a great job, but it's not enough.
Well, and I think that that's true for many, many advocates, not just in our issue area, but it's people may be doing a great job and it's not enough. And I think that, what, you know, state by state, there are going to be differences. And some of these states, Texas, Florida, and California among them, are really quite large. And the differences between, between the major cities are also, in particular, quite large. And so we need to find ways to take advantage of the emerging technologies to communicate across these distances, and to build alliances among the different communities. And I think that one of the things that I'm seeing is we're getting a lot of communications from different places. And so then the question is, once we have the communications, how can we share the information, put people together when they have common interests? And, you know, one of the advantages we have in Texas is there's a libertarian mindset on many issues, and the perspective that I think we espouse for homeowner rights is a libertarian perspective. It's not tied to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Certainly, I get calls from all sides of the aisle. The common thing is that people tend to believe that we should be allowed to be left alone, and that's, I think, something that we need to figure out. How do you take a group of people that fundamentally want to be left alone and organize them to protect their right to be left alone? And that's a difficult question. You know, it ties into something that we're seeing. Nationally, an emerging discussion or emerging hints that CAI and its related groups are working at the national level. How can we participate effectively with no money for campaign contributions, no money for lobbyists, and people who really have something else to do with their lives and would prefer simply, the common element is, don't want to be told how their most personal property is to be used. I certainly don't pretend to have an answer to that. I think that we need to focus increasing amounts of attention, and hopefully we will be able to have a coalition of people from different states who will be able to speak on these issues. Got a lot of energy out there when people get riled up. How do we channel that energy in a way that either prevents bad things, which may be our more attainable goal, or that affirmatively accomplishes good things?
I think we need to debunk some of the lies first and foremost. A lot of people feel that they are being protected, that their values are being enhanced, and that's simply not the case. That is a big lie. So people are willing to close their eyes, they're willing to do all kinds of things in return for this protection that they allegedly are getting. The other thing is fear. There's a tremendous amount of fear out there. People are afraid of speaking out. They'll come to you and say, David, you're my next door neighbor. I've known you for 100 years. I love you dearly. I'm very sorry about what's going on, but if I speak up to protect you, I'll get targeted, so I'm not going to do it. The other thing I think you have to realize is money. I just pulled the stats for a speech I'm preparing, and HOAs, homeowners in HOAs, contribute 51 billion dollars annually. That's significant money, David. You know, they, as long as they continue to contribute this, pay their taxes, contribute this money, and still allow some idiot to tell them that they can't have a cross or their garden hose hasn't been approved by probably the king of taste police.
Yeah, we have a lot here that somebody used black electrician's tape instead of silver tape, or maybe they used silver instead of black to wrap their pipes when it was cold.
Right, right. I mean, stupid, stupid stuff. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this because a lot of the speeches that I've been putting together have been related to HOA, so I'm kind of expanding my audience. But it seemed to me that this country was founded on tolerance. You had people from different nationalities, with different ethnic backgrounds, different religions. Everybody was brought into this melting pot. And now HOAs are just going after all of the differences. Now we're just trying to make everybody milli vanilli. You know, we just are intolerant. I'm intolerant of religion. I'm intolerant of ethnic background. I'm intolerant. You know, even the fabric softener you use or the food you cook. Is this really where we want to be going?
Well, that's not what I want to be doing. I mean, I think that there's a fair amount of anger whenever anybody gets caught, and then, you know, we're trapped, I guess is the word that I'm looking for, whenever they get trapped by their association. And what we've seen in some of the cases that have gone to trial with juries here in Texas is that jurors are well aware that some associations overreach. But to take the next step and to say this is a top priority in a time when there are so many other issues, and there certainly are a great deal of other issues that are making demands on people's time, very hard to do. So I think, though, that is our mission, which is to figure out how to get a coalition that reaches across subdivisions. You know, frequently we have some very, very talented people who are willing to speak up. How do we marshal that creativity, that persuasive power to shape the legislature, shape the administrative agencies, shape the district attorneys, educate Congress? You know, I think we've made a lot of progress over the last 5 to 7 years, maybe a little bit longer, maybe over the last 10 years. There certainly have been legislative improvements in many of the larger states. But we just started from a position that was so anti-homeowner that we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, and you guys did a lot of good stuff. You had a couple of conferences that you put on. I came to two of them, and you had a lot of people there.
Yes, we've done that, and I've been quite impressed with work that's going on in Florida and Arizona and California, particularly. It's just that all of it requires a great deal of work, and there are, as we've talked about, relatively few resources.
Speaking of California, I had Marjorie Murray on, and they had two major wins based on legislation that the California Law Center was able to get passed, but it took them 12 years, 10 years to work on it. So it's not something that happened overnight for them. It's not happening overnight for anybody else, but that is a glimmer of hope.
Yeah. And I think we see lots of glimmers. I mean, everybody, every phone call I get is another person who is speaking out, saying we can make this better, as opposed to knuckling under and giving up. So, I mean, that's part of the impetus behind our attempting to systematize the gathering of the names that we've encountered, and see if we can mobilize people who are at least willing to let their legislator know. I mean, we have people from literally every state elected district, at least this side of Austin. Again, it's somewhat less of a problem. I'm less familiar with problems in the western part of Texas, and I suspect that there's more of a libertarian tradition there. But the advantage there is that those legislators may be favorably disposed ideologically. If we can ever get some of the local people in Houston, which is we have maybe there are 30 state senators here, and 8 of them touch a district in Houston. So we need to get those legislators to focus attention on these issues.
So let's expand from Texas to more of a national outlook. Would it help? I know that you and I talked a little bit earlier about CAI lobbying the federal government. And we talked about doing something maybe at the federal level. What do you see as commonalities? What do you see as differences? Because a lot of these statutes are state-specific.
Well, you know, it's hard to know what we may see coming down the pike. We've certainly seen a lot of attention paid to housing due to all the foreclosures. Some of the states with a very large presence of homeowner associations also got hit very hard at the end of the last decade. And we know that some of the roots of the CAI type movement, if you will, the movement to centralize power over homeowners, some of those grew out of federal oversight of loans. Now, I'm not sure how much I think how much of a role that ultimately played. I think that in Texas, for example, once the model of homeowner associations became reasonably well understood, and particularly after the decision that allowed foreclosure, it took on a momentum of its own within the expansion of association power took on a momentum of its own within this state. And my somewhat less informed perspective on California, Florida, Arizona, and Nevada is the same thing, that there's an internal to the state dynamic. And what I would be concerned about is that those anti-homeowner dynamics might get institutionalized at the national level. And it's hard to know exactly what form that would take, but that would mean there's nowhere to go. Whereas right now, even within Texas, there are places that have very few homeowner associations. In the big urban areas, they tend to have homeowner associations, but you can get outside of the cities and do okay.
Yeah, but usually the jobs are within the cities, so...
I'm sorry, usually the what?
The jobs are within the cities.
Yes.
So people, so naturally, unless you're into farming or you're retired, the rural communities are not going to work for most people. You've got kids and you've got schools and, you know, all of that is going to be within the city limits.
Yeah, I think that's true. Saying it could be more comprehensive.
We're redeveloping everything, David. We're making everything more walkable and more pedestrian friendly and more this, that, and the other. And all of that translates to HOAs.
Well, it doesn't have to. It just can.
It will. If you've got people piled one on top of the other, you're not buying real estate, you're buying air, and there's going to be an association.
Yes, I think that's true. But even then, so for example, if you're talking about a condominium structure, it's probably inevitable within the American legal framework that for condominium-type buildings, there's going to be a common governance structure, some common governance structure. But the question is, what does it look like? And it can be one that is more deferential to individuals or one that is less deferential to individuals. And I favor the structures that are more deferential. But if all of a sudden all condominiums get regulated at the national level instead of state by state, it may be harder to get local variation that demonstrates the good things that can happen with a more deferential.
I absolutely agree with you, but I think what I would like to see at the federal level would be things like no more fines.
No more, yes. Well, if we knew that we would win that, sure, but I don't know that we would win that battle at the federal level.
But I mean, that's the sort of thing that I would like to see at the federal level is, you know, you may not fine people because it's a violation of the federal constitution. Things like, I think the financing is big because a lot of the financing is federally backed through Freddie and Fannie.
Right, or whatever their successors turn out to be.
Yeah, whatever we end up having, but a lot of these mortgages are sold on the secondary market. And the government ends up with them. So I think that they should be a little more concerned about what they're using taxpayer money to fund and to back. Be the types of things that I would favor doing at the federal level. And I think those are the things that CAI is working very hard at the federal level to try and make sure that the government continues to provide the federally backed funding, because without it, you're not going to be able to get mortgages. Most people can't come up with a 20% down payment. I mean, it's a simple matter of economics. By the way, that's why we ended up with CAI in the first place, so that they could get the funding, the mortgages.
Yes, and I guess what I'm saying is that one of the things that's difficult is if the federal government were to take an average of the current statutes today, it wouldn't look very good from my perspective. And I would prefer to be able to fight locally and when we could win to show that more pro-homeowner policies would work, and we still need the states to be what Brandeis called the little laboratories.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I absolutely agree with you. But David, thank you so much. We are out of time.
Well, thank you.
But thanks for coming. I hope you come back. I know that you're coming to an end with some of your cases. I hope you'll come back and talk to us about some of them.
Uh-huh.
When they're done, let me know.
Well, there's always new ones, and there's always the ones that we're coming to the end on, hopefully coming to the end on.
Hopefully. Keep our fingers crossed and look forward to having you back on. Thanks to all of you for joining us.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've
I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.